Hello and welcome to the podcast of Vineyard Church here in Maryville, Tennessee. We post our Sunday messages here each week, as well as our conversations episodes, which include interviews, special announcements, and in-depth teaching. You can visit vineyardchurch.us to learn more about us or to access the audio archive. You can also subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. And now, here's the episode.
All right. Well, good morning. It is good to see you. If you're a guest, it's what we do every week. It's just like this every week. So really glad that you came. You might be tired, so you can skip this part, but let me invite you to stand one more time as you're able for the reading of God's scripture. Thank you, Lord. This is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. And then also verses 20 and 21. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authority in the heavenly realms. Think about what that might mean. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Now, verse 20, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. If you would join me in saying our prayer aloud together, I'll get us started. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you alone are King. Give us wisdom, courage, and kindness that we might bear your image well. Unify us in heart, soul, and purpose that the world might know your love. Make us your hands, generous and compassionate. Make us your feet, valiant and steady. In service to you and all you've created, give us love greater than fear. Onward for your kingdom. We're declaring your worth, finding our worth in you, and joining you in the renewal of all things. Amen. Thank you, guys. You guys can have a seat. Thanks for participating in that. As you've heard already, it's our anniversary. 20 years is, man, that is so wild. I was curious, so I went back and looked at my sermons that I've preached on our anniversary years over the past couple decades. And what I found is that I just say the same thing over and over and over and over again, slightly different versions year after year of me going, man, guys, God, he's so faithful. Man, he is faithful. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? He is so just over and over, year after year, the same message and just this stunned awareness by just how faithful and good the Lord is. And that's been the only message, because that's been my overwhelming thought and my overwhelming emotion. It probably would have been insincere to preach anything else. To be clear, I'm still completely stunned by God's faithfulness. But that's not my only feeling this time. I have two feelings this time. One, I am all the way shocked by his faithfulness and his favor to us. But also, I don't know, I'm not that shocked. Like, God's got a pretty well-established track record at this point, and there's a part of me that's finally starting to trust the Lord and accepting that apparently this is just how it's going to be. God is going to be faithful. He is going to take care of his bride, and if we stay humble, he's going to continue to allow us to join him in the renewal of all things. So, instead of having this sort of grateful disbelief, as I look back, I'm also looking ahead with this growing sense of expectation and excitement. I'm really starting to believe this stuff. I am starting to really believe it. He is so, so faithful. And I'm not trying to impress you when I'm really not. Like, I just believe this stuff, and I'm not impressive, so I'm not trying to impress you. In fact, true story, last week, just a couple of days ago, I was I had some yogurt, and I was stirring up some granola in it, and I was really excited about it. And then I dropped a big glob of it onto the counter in front of me, and no one was around. So just hands-free, just went down, slurped it right off the counter. And you might be thinking, well, he's probably got really clean counters. No, I don't. No, I don't. They're pretty gross, actually. So, look, I'm not impressive, man. In fact, I'm thinking, why did it take me this long? I am 43 years old. He has never let me down, ever, not once. It's probably time for me to start believing it. Probably time for me to start realizing this is the way of our good King. I want us to think about a concept today, and in order to do that, we're going to look at my favorite way to think about sort of abstract concepts, which is actually a 2x2 matrix. We'll show you what that is in just a second. I've got a couple, just as an aside here, I've got a couple blind spots in my life, and I know that they're there, but number one blind spot for me is, by default, I always trust a redhead, every time. I meet a redhead, and I'm like, do you want to hold my wallet? I trust them. I can't help it. Here's why. My mom is an absolute saint, walks in integrity and walks with Jesus, and she's never lied to me, and she's never led me astray, and she's this incredible woman, and she is a fiery redhead. And so my mind made a connection. Redhead, good. Redhead, trustworthy. Ginger, go with it. This is good. And my next door neighbor growing up was a guy named Travis Farner. He's this really incredible dude, a couple years older than me, better than me at everything, still is, by the way. I was like, oh, when we grow up, I'll catch him in adulthood. No, he's still better than me at everything, smart, he's this wonderful guy. And you would think someone with a good friend that's a next door neighbor, you're 2 years older than, you would torture that kid. And he didn't torture me at all. In fact, he was really kind and treated me as a peer and pointed me to Jesus, just this wonderful guy. So I've kind of made this connection. I got Travis on one hand, I got mom, I got my mama also as well, all these redheads. And so I just immediately think, trust a redhead. It's interesting though, almost every time I tell a redhead this, they go, oh, don't do that. Do not. We are ruthless. Do not trust a redhead. And I'm just like, guys, I'm on your side. You need to get on each other's side because I'm on board. So that's one blind spot. And the other blind spot is anytime I see anything presented on a 2x2 matrix, I'm super impressed and I immediately think it's true. I think it's such a great way to think. If I ever end up completely destitute, it will be because a redhead presented something to me on a 2x2 matrix, and I just signed it all away immediately. Just whatever you say is good. So anyway, I do think they're super helpful as we try to think through certain circumstances. So let's take a look at this 2x2 matrix. Yeah, and so what we're going to do is take a second to get your mind around. On the x-axis, moving from left to right, is control. And on the y-axis, moving from the bottom to top, is stakes. So low stakes to high stakes. So what that means is on the bottom left quadrant, you have low stakes and low control. So this is marked by apathy. This is just whatever, you know? It's like it doesn't really matter much and I can't control it anyway, so who cares? This is like the dumb joke where the kid comes home from school and he goes to his dad because he needs help with his vocabulary test. And he says, Dad, I need to know the definition of ignorance and apathy. And the dad goes, Son, I don't know and I don't care. And then the kid did great on his test. And dad came through like, it's like, I don't know. I don't care. It's whatever. It's just whatever. That's the bottom left quadrant. This is, believe it or not, this is traffic, guys. I know it feels like high stakes, but we're just still in the low Maryville, and you're great, but you're not that important. It's no big deal. You can't control the traffic anyway. This is the weather. I was really hoping we'd have a nice weekend with weather, with all the stuff that's going on, and we did. And it wasn't supposed to be, and the weather changed, and it would have been fine if I hadn't, because I can't control it anyway, and it's low stakes, low control. Okay? Hope that makes sense. That's the bottom left quadrant. The bottom right quadrant is low stakes and high control. Low stakes, high control is marked by fun. It's recreation. This is, hey, we got a free night. That wonderful feeling that once you get after about 35 or so, the best feeling in the world is when plans get canceled. And it's like, oh, this is great. What can we do? We could do whatever we want. Total control. And it doesn't matter at all. That's the best feeling. That's the bottom right quadrant here. This is low stakes, high controls, recreation. This is fun. This is why we have hobbies, by the way. If you have a hobby and you enjoy it, it's probably the reason why you enjoy it is because it is low stakes and it is high control. I thought about picking up golf as a hobby, but then I experienced it as high stakes and low control, even though that's not what it is. And so I was like, I'm not going to golf anymore. I'm miserable out here, so I don't. But some people enjoy that. The top left quadrant is high stakes and low control. And this is the worst. And this is marked primarily by fear. And you're all familiar with it and could give a million examples where there's just like so much. There's so much hanging in the balance and it matters so much and you can't do anything about it. You just hold on while it happens to you. That's, I don't like that feeling. Nobody likes that feeling. Best example I can think of is like the geopolitical stuff that happens in the world. Like right now, there's a whole series of awful things that are happening in the Middle East. And it matters. It matters so much. The stakes are so high. And I can't do anything about it. It's an election year. It's a presidential election. High stakes, right? And you get one vote. One vote out of hundreds of millions. You get one. All right? That's high stakes. That's low control. You guys tracking with me? Let's do it. That's not enough. Let's do another one. Inflation. It's happening, or it's not. You can't do anything. Jerome Powell can't do anything about it. We can't control it, but it will affect you. The stakes are high, and you have no control over it one way or another. This is, you know, it's a tornado warning. That's what this is. It's coming, and it might hit you, and it might not, and you can't do anything, but they told you about it, so you could panic, right? That's high stakes, low control, fear. The top right quadrant is high stakes, high control. And this one's interesting. This one's marked by possibility and potential and opportunity, maybe some pressure too. These are things that really, really matter and that you have some say in. Like you can put your finger on the scale in a meaningful way. Like maybe the best example of this is a work ethic, right? You get to decide, it's up to you, whether or not you will be faithful, or you put your hand to things that matter, and then show up every day and do what God's called you to do, and do it for the glory of the Lord, and don't turn back and get after it. And if you work hard and faithfully day in and day out, it will dramatically impact the outcomes of your life, and it's up to you. It's high stakes, and it's high control. One that fits in this but not quite as well is education. If you have access to education and some ability around education, and I know not everybody has both of those things, but if you have both of those things, then you can really dramatically impact the course of your life based on how much you value that, how much you lean into those things. The biggest example, I think, would just be your integrity. Like whether or not you are a person who can be trusted, who speaks the truth, someone who has the fruit of the Spirit, someone who does and operates business in a way that is appropriate and right and good. The stakes on that are really, really high, and that's just up to you, man. You're in control. You'll either live that way or you won't. All right, so does this matrix make sense? That wasn't a great response. Let's try again. Does it make sense? I'm going to keep listing examples. If you don't, okay. All right, so let's see. Let's maybe you play now. Let's consider a few examples for you and then see where you would put it. So what you are wearing today, your clothes, where would that go on the quadrant? Can we agree that that's low stakes? I know for some of you, you spend a lot of time and you care so much. Nobody cares but you. It's low stakes, okay? The stakes are low, but the control is high, right? It's like, that's totally up to you. That's your choice, right on. Whether or not you get a free t-shirt in your size today, or if we run out of your size, low stakes, and low control because you're in the second service. If you'd come to the early service, you'd have more control over that, but you didn't. So it's, all right, hopefully that makes sense. Let's do a trickier one. Parenting, where would that go? High stakes, that's the easy part. If you're like, that's the easy part, okay. High stakes. Is it high control or is it low control? So here's my take on it. It's a whole lot of both is what it is. I feel like when you're in the newborn phase, it's totally upper left. Like, you have no control over your entire, like, that kid ruins everything. And you've got to just keep the little monster alive at all cost. And you love it so much that you're freaking out and the stakes are so high and there's no control. If you think about it, have you ever made this parallel? But if you think about the ways in which humans are often tortured, like on purpose, and you compare that to being a parent of a newborn, they're like, guys, sleep deprivation, noise pollution, like they're real similar, okay? So you're being completely tortured. So I think at the beginning, you may disagree, but it's like high stakes, low control. But then they start to get a little older and they can maybe take care of themselves a little bit. And you get a little schedule, a little routine going on. And you can start making some choices. You feel like you have I think you get a measure of control. And certainly a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, they're not making any decisions. You're in control of their lives. They're coming, they're going, you get to shape their little mind. So I think it starts moving to the right with higher control as they get older. But then as they keep getting older, it feels like it, doesn't it? Doesn't it just come back? And then one day you give the kid the car keys and it's like, I still love you, but I feel like I'm done. Like it's baked. I hope it's okay. Bryce got his driver's license and it's like, I don't see him anymore. It's like when I see him at the house, it's like a B-list celebrity sighting. I'm like, Sharon, come here. It's Bryce. I see him. He's gone. You miss him. I could have gotten an autograph, but it's like, I love him more than ever, but okay. So it feels like it goes back and forth. So anyway, we can think about things in life and put them on this matrix. I think it's helpful. Here's one. What about your own spiritual formation? You before the Lord. High stakes. I think we can agree. And it feels like, yeah, I've got some say over that, right? I've got some control. It feels like it kind of over here on the right. But what about our church's spiritual growth? Feels like the dot moved a little bit, right? Like the stakes are still really high, but maybe, at least to me, it feels like, you've less control over that. What about the spiritual condition of East Tennessee? What about the spiritual well-being of the United States? What about the outpouring of God's power and presence on his people and possible waves of renewal and revival? Where would you put those things? My tendency has always been to put God's work in the top left quadrant, right? Especially when it doesn't pertain exclusively to me. It's high stakes and it's low control. There's a lot of stuff I would like very much to see happen. I would love very much for God to do. But he's in control, not me. The ball is always in his court and not mine. And I am less convinced of that than I've ever been. Here's the thing. And don't get me wrong. We're not going weird here. God is in control, period. He's in control. He's sovereign. We're not. Definitely not in control, 100%. God's in control, and we are not. I can't make God do anything. That's a ridiculous notion. I can't make you do anything. Most days, I can't make me do anything, okay? I'm not in control. So let's, with all that said, though, and hold on to that. Don't lose that. Let's hold on to that. But we have real impact on what happens in this world. We have real impact on how God moves in our lives and how he moves in this place and where we live. The part about God being in control, that's from the Bible. It's true. But also from the Bible, there's stuff about how our prayers are powerful and effective, about how people who hunger and thirst for God will be filled, about how we will find him. If we seek him with all of our hearts, there's stuff in there about our faith moving mountains, about God giving us the keys to the kingdom of heaven, that it says that whatever we bind will be bound and whatever we loose will be loosed. I don't even know what that means. But at the very least, it must mean that we have some agency in this world. Don't lose it. God is in control, period. He's in control. But as an expression of that control, of that sovereignty, he made a plan. And that plan includes you and me, as we just read, being used to demonstrate God's wisdom to the world. God's plan is to make you and me a billboard to show God's love to a watching world. And what we just read is that through us, his wisdom will be displayed to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. I'm not sure what that means either, but I kind of got the feeling that that's big. That feels big. So again, we got to stay anchored. God decides, for example, God decides how spiritual gifts are distributed. He does. But he also tells us to earnestly seek those gifts. And he doesn't tell us to earnestly seek those gifts because he intends to ignore our seeking. He says that those who seek find. And we cannot make his kingdom come. That's a ridiculous thing to even say. But we're not told to pray that his kingdom would come and to seek his kingdom first for no good reason at all. That's not just Christian busy work. Those prayers are effective. We have some agency. Guys, we can pray and fast and ask and seek and share and knock and obey. You know, Jesus said that we would do the things that he did in this world. And then he went on to say that we would do even greater things than he did in this world, which sounds completely fantastical, I know, but that doesn't mean it isn't true. We're not just innocent bystanders in this deal. We are deeply flawed participants in this deal. And apparently, as we read a moment ago, because of all this, we can walk right up to the throne of God and get an audience with the King of Glory. And the result of that, again, as we just read, is that through his power at work within us, we can accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or even think. So back to the 2x2 matrix, the stakes are higher than we can imagine. They're so high. and I have no idea how to sort through the tension between what we can control and what we can't control. I don't know how to do that like cosmic math, and I seriously doubt that you can do it either. But more and more, as I try to imagine how to navigate that tension, my dot has been moving to the right more and more. I love the way Pete Grieg says this. This is an author and a pastor we've referenced a few times over the years, so he might sound familiar. I love the way he talks about this. He said, you know, we're looking for the move of God and for his power and presence, etc. And he states the obvious, which is like, we can't conjure up a wave. You can't make a wave. That's silly. All right, so if you go to the beach and some poor soul goes out 100 yards or so out into the water and they turn around and face the shores and start doing this. And you go, what's that idiot doing? And he goes, I'm making the waves. It's like, no, you're not, man. No, you are not. That's ridiculous. You can't. That's silly. You cannot make a wave. And that's, Grieg is very careful to say that. But here's what we can do. We can learn how to surf. And if you think about what a surfer does, one is they think it through, they make a plan, they go out there very intentionally, and they look. They seek the waves. Then they learn how to identify a wave. If they're a certain kind of surfer, they might even pray for waves. And then they recognize, that's a wave I can ride. And then they catch the wave, and they ride the wave. We cannot make waves, but we can learn how to surf. We looked at one 2x2. Now let's look at what is literally my favorite 2x2 ever, and nothing describes the mission and vision of this church any better than this simple matrix. The vision of our church is to walk with Jesus and to love your neighbor, to walk with Jesus, to love your neighbor. That's our vision. The mission of our church is to join God in the renewal of all things. And if we think about the same sort of thing with the two axes and everything, if you're in the lower left quadrant here, which means you don't walk with Jesus or love your neighbor, then your life will have no intimacy with the Lord and it will, and no action, no purpose. This is a desolate place to be. If you have intimacy with Jesus, you're walking with Jesus, but you aren't loving your neighbor, then you get intimacy without action, which is it's a frustrated, your gears will grind, okay? Because as you walk with Jesus, he will constantly be saying, come on, love your neighbor, share the truth, love your neighbor. And so he'll be constantly challenging you, and so your gears will grind. This is a tough place to abide in, but a lot of people do, where they really work hard to walk with Jesus, but they don't have, it's like the Dead Sea. There's a way in, but not a way out. In the bottom right-hand corner, though, if you love your neighbor well, but you fail to pair it with intimacy with the Lord and you don't walk with him, you get action without intimacy. And if that happens, you become an activist and then you just burn out. You burn out because there's no input. You end up on E and it's never good enough. And so you just keep working. And most people end up angry with God in this scenario as well. This is a tough spot to be as well. But if you walk with Jesus and you love your neighbor, the two hand in hand, then you get to join God in the renewal of all things. The scripture, John 15, we talk about it all the time. But if we remain in him, then the promise is we'll bear lots of fruit. Apart from him, no fruit. But if we remain in him, the promise is clear. You will bear lots of fruit. Guys, I don't know the future. And to be clear, I cannot control anything. But if we walk with Jesus and we love our neighbors, we will get to join God in the renewal of all things. And there's nothing better than that. We get to participate in the unfolding of God's great plan in this world. We're going to wrap up here. I'm going to invite EJ. I think EJ's going to help us out here. We're going to close the service a little bit differently here today. I know we do some different stuff, but we're a little short on time today, so we got to maybe wrap things up. Maybe I'm just a prisoner of the moment here when I say this, I recognize, but I truly believe that we are better and better equipped walking with Jesus and loving our neighbor than we've ever been as a church. And we're learning more every year. And it's been so fun to get to join God in what he's doing over these years. And I know I'm an optimist, but guys, I don't think it's a stretch at all to say that the next 20 years will be even more remarkable and even more fruitful. As more and more of us keep our sails up, as more and more of us walk with Jesus, we'll see more and more fruitfulness as we go. Because we already know God's going to be faithful. That part's set. If we just remain in him. Let me invite you to stand one last time, if you would. And if we have folks on our prayer team, it'd be really great if you could come forward now. We typically will pray with folks in the corners of the room. It might be a little slippery over there, but I think we're okay. You can in that corner. But if you're on the prayer team, I'd love it if you would come forward now so that we've got an opportunity to respond. We do something called Selah every week, which is just a time to reflect and direct our thoughts and hopefully make this as personal as we possibly can and say, Lord, how might this apply to me? So we call it the Vineyard Pose, but we'll do this because it just is a way of our bodies. It's nothing magic. It's just informing us that we're open to what the Lord might say or how he might speak or move. You don't have to do it at all, but you might find it helpful. You might find it helpful to close your eyes. You can look around, though. It's fine. Lord, we welcome your presence. Invite you to speak to us, and as we said, make this as personal as we can make it. I think there's a very real chance that you might have fallen into this little cycle. I certainly have at different points along the way where It's quite possible the Lord is nudging me or even pushing me to respond in one way and to take action. And I'll tend in my faithlessness to just freeze and then just go, I don't know, God's in control, right? God's in control. It's up to you. The ball's not in my court. But what's happening, the God who is in control is putting the ball in your court and saying, I do have plans to do things, and my plan is to do them through you. And I think perhaps it's our respect, and this is good, our respect for the sovereignty of the Lord. Perhaps it's humility that has a hard time imagining that God would invite us to join him in what he's doing. But in the end, it adds up to, I think often unintentionally, disobedience. Because God's saying, go, proceed, make the phone call, have the conversation, take the next step. And we go, I don't know, God's in control. Lord, do what you would have to do, your will. And he's like, I'm trying to do it through you. So let's just take a moment here and reflect on just whether or not that to one degree or another that may apply to you. That does apply to you on any level. In just a moment, we'll close the service, and as we dismiss the service, I would just love for you to come forward, and there'll be folks here ready to pray with you. We just love to encourage you, ask the Lord to give you boldness, obedience, that pairing of walking with Jesus and loving your neighbor. The Lord wants to bring those things into balance. Maybe you'd find that one thing's really out of balance, like I'm an activist, but I don't do the intimacy thing, or maybe it's the other way around. I walk with Jesus, but when it's go time, I recoil. Either way, the Lord wants to bring those things into harmony, I believe, to crank them both up. We'd invite you in a moment as well to respond. Just one last idea as well. Can we put the matrix back up? Yeah, that's the one. We talked about the high stakes, low control quadrant. Just wonder if maybe when we were talking about that, you felt like, yeah, that's where I live. I live there. I feel like everything is high stakes and it's all out of control. You're not alone. I feel like the Lord would want to meet with you and encourage you to trust, all right? Which is like the ultimate, by the way. It's the hardest thing to do. But we'd love to pray with you and bless you and invite the Lord to fill you with trust, to go, okay, there's some things I can't control, but the King of Glory, he is in control. If he's invited me to do something, great. If not, if I'm on the sidelines, I'm going to trust King Jesus. It's so hard to do. We'd love to pray with you and invite the Lord to speak into that. So, guys, I love you so much. Thank you for worshiping with us. If you want to respond to any of those things, come forward. We'd love to pray with you. If not, God bless you. You're dismissed.